with Bernard. It's just after 10 minutes past 8 o'clock. We talk to the Heart and Stroke Foundation on a Tuesday at this time, and this morning is no different. Talking to Kinza from the Heart and Stroke Foundation. Kinza, a registered dietitian, and talking to us today about sugar. Kinza, very good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Wade, and your listeners.
And Kinza, thanks for joining us once again. Today, talking about sugar, and probably just in time for a little bit of a warning before we go and eat all the Easter eggs next weekend. But kicking off is, why is it important to limit our sugar intake?
So I think it's important to just first understand that a lot of the food we consume gets broken down into glucose. And so glucose or blood sugar is the main source of energy for our body cells, tissues and organs. So the problem arises when there's more sugar than required by the body. And then this results in the sugar being converted into fat, which then gets stored in the body.
Okay.
So in essence, eating and drinking too many added sugars makes it difficult to achieve, you know, a healthy pattern. And then we find that to be linked to weight gain, obesity, you know, all those conditions that we're always talking about.
Okay.
So it is very crucial just to watch what we consume, but specifically to watch the added sugar consumption, because of course there's certain foods which are good for us, which will give us sugar, but it's those foods that have a little bit too much sugar in them that we need to avoid.
Okay. And which foods are these that contribute to sugar intake?
So, of course, it's like you mentioned, it's all those chocolates and those sweets. But I think very, very important that I'd like to highlight is the sugary drinks. Sugary drinks on their own are one of the largest contributors to the global sugar intake. And, you know, it's been linked to weight gain, obesity, type 2 diabetes. And then further to these are our refined or processed starches, you know, all our white options, our white bread, pasta, rice. It doesn't mean we should be cutting the foods out. Where possible, we try to go replace them with maybe unrefined, minimally processed starches, you know, if it's possible to go to the brown options. Of course, it can be very tedious, you know, when you go into the shop and you're looking at all the products. There's so many products out there now, and then there's words on there, and then you assume it's healthy and stuff. But that's why we always just say, you know, when in doubt, go back to our Heartmark logo, because those have been checked to make sure that a lot of things are checked. But if we're speaking about sugar, then we check and make sure that there isn't too much of that added sugar in there.
Right, right. And just looking at, you know, what you should or shouldn't be eating, fruits and fruit juices also contain sugar. Are there any tips regarding fruit consumption? You know, that I would think would be a natural sugar, but obviously you've still got to be careful there.
Yes, no. So definitely fruits contain natural sugar, but and they also contain so many other beneficial nutrients, you know, the vitamins, minerals. Different colored fruits give us different vitamins, antioxidants, fiber. So it is very important to keep the fruits in our diet. Of course, like you said, we just need to keep in mind the portions that we're consuming. Obviously, that varies from person to person. But generally, we say, you know, to try to stick to 2 to 3 fruits per day. And where possible, to try and keep the skin on for that added fiber. And then also just a very simple practical tip: when we are eating a fruit, to sort of pair it with another food group, another fat or protein, just so that the sugar that gets released from the fruit into our bloodstream, you know, occurs gradually and it doesn't cause a spike in our blood sugar at once. When it comes to fruit juices, definitely we need to be a little bit more cautious about these. A lot of the times, you know, there'll be added sugar in the juices. And if there's no added sugar, then unfortunately the number of fruits that actually get used up to make, you know, a serving of the fruit way exceeds those 2 to 3 portions per day. Mm-hmm. And you'll often find when you have a whole fruit, 2 or 3 fruits in a day, it makes you more satisfied than, you know, just having a glass of juice, which way exceeds those 3 portions. So that's just something to keep in mind as well.
And then you've got a sweet tooth, but you want to keep, you want to stay away from sugar. What's the consensus on the use of artificial sweeteners in the attempts to reduce your sugar intake?
So, that is something where the research is constantly coming out. So, generally, they've been marketed as safe, but it's very important to use them in moderation. And like I said, the research coming out, and there's maybe some which they've said, you know, we need to stay clear of, and some which they're not so sure about. So the bottom line is, it's not something we would, you know, just give a blanket statement and be like, okay, right, you can go for the options that have sweeteners, it's fine. Mm. We would need to look at the person and consider what they're changing in their diet, or what is it substituting, what type of sweetener is in that, you know, that item that they're buying, how often are they having it. And also just, you know, if you look at sugar and artificial sweeteners, they are addictive, which means they become, they often become a habit that can't be difficult to change. You look for that, you get used to that sweetness that you're experiencing, and that's what you keep wanting, you keep looking for. So, yeah.
So handle
it's
with
still
care.
Something to be cautious of. Yes.
Be very careful. And Kinza, if you can provide us with some practical tips on reducing your sugar intake. And we'll implement it after Easter weekend.
I think you know, it's different for everyone. I think firstly, you need to identify where you are on your sugar reducing journey. If you're someone that consumes a lot of the luxury foods, which are often high in sugar, then the first step would be to try and avoid or at least limit those foods. And then another tip, if luxuries aren't, you know, your main problem, then maybe you look into the next step, which would be to sort of replace processed sugar with foods that contain natural sugar, like the fruits that we spoke of. After that, let's say you're someone that has a lot of, you know, warm beverages, a lot of tea and coffee. I think that's something a lot of people struggle with, where they need to have certain amount of sugar in. I think specifically for this, it requires persistence and patience. If you're someone that, you know, had maybe 2 teaspoons in your tea, start to gradually reduce that, get used to the taste. Don't do it at once. You're going to need some time to get used to that lack of sweetness in your tea. And there's always so many other, you know, better flavors to replace, to add into your drinks, especially in place of sugar, like warm, like ginger, you know, your cinnamons, nutmegs, whatever spice, natural spice or whole spice you look for. Nice. I think that's the main thing. And especially in winter, I think I always mention the sugary drinks, to try and limit those. That's where we get most of our sugar from. And to try to flavor your water with, again, those natural fresh ingredients, cucumber, apples, berries, those kind of things.
Right. And now, you know, it's good to get habits started when people are young, when the kids are young. And how do you get children to eat less sugary items? And I mean, there's so many temptations. You know, you go shopping and you check out through Temptation Alley, which is just designed to cause havoc and go against everything that you've basically just told us. But, you know, children, how can you kind of keep them on the straight and narrow?
I think that will start with us as parents. Obviously, you know, we can tell them what's good and what's bad, but ultimately they'll be watching us. They'll be seeing what we're doing, what we're eating. So if you do wish for them to reduce, let's say, their sugary drink consumption, then it'll have to start with you as a parent first, so they can follow into that. It's also very important to get them used to the right foods from the time, actually, that they start eating solids, so that they develop good eating habits from their early days. So we often recommend parents, you know, to prepare home-cooked meals for their babies once they get to that age of 6 months where they start giving solids. And simple things like introducing vegetables before fruits, not adding any sugar or salt, because, I mean, they don't really know, you know, what it tastes like when it's salt added or sugar added or not. So that would be the starting point, to get them used to that. And then, of course, as they grow older, you would need to make sure that you're doing what you'd like them to do. So that, especially when it comes to things like salt and sugar.
Right. So you've got to sort of get those habits instilled at a young age, and then obviously just apply it consistently after that.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
And Kinza, one last question. The Heart and Stroke Foundation has resources available. How can the members of the public, our listeners, get in touch with you and find out more about what we chat about?
Yes, so listeners can go on our website on www.heartfoundation.co.za. We have about 5 cookbooks up there which can be downloaded free of charge with, you know, recipes which have affordable ingredients and ingredients you can be, you know, be rest assured that they're heart healthy, brain healthy ingredients. And anyone from the public can get in touch with us on our health chat line on 021-422-1586.
Okay. Well, Kinza, thank you very, very much for chatting to us today. Have a great week, and we'll chat again next week, Tuesday.
Yes, thanks, Wade. Always a pleasure. Good week to you and your listeners as well.
Thank you very much. That's Kinza Hussain from the Heart and Stroke Foundation. And, of course, this chat will be on our website later today as a podcast. So if you missed anything or you just want to maybe re-listen to it or re-listen it, it will be on our website later today, wildcoastradio.co.za.